Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Gathering, visiting from the American Coalition for Ethanol, Ron Lamberty. Howdy, Ron.
Hey, Mick. How are you doing?
Pretty good, as far as I can tell. We've had some good corn prices. We've had some pretty good ethanol prices. Ethanol is worth more than gasoline. Is that the case? I mean, there's some good things for farmers out there right now.
Well, I mean, if you're asking me, ethanol's always been worth more than gasoline. It's just priced higher a little bit now. So when you add in things like the RIN value that a marketer would get if they blend it and, they collect the RIN and sell it to somebody, then actually the net price is still lower than gasoline. So that helps. But what's happening right now is as these oil prices continue to drop, we're being paid finally for the octane in the fuel. The refiners make a base fuel that's 83.5 or 84 octane, and they need something to bring the octane up, and their octane of choice right now is ethanol, and so that's why we get a little bit more money. And there's those of us in the industry that think we always should have been getting paid for that, and now we're seeing that happen, so that's a good thing for us. And basically you've got some diversification that happened because of the pandemic. You've got some plants that switched production over to things like hand sanitizer, some of them that dialed back production. So I think, every time there's a crisis in our industry, and I'm sure that's true of most industries, you learn something and you do your job better and you plan better and you end up being in a better position than you were when you started. And hopefully that'll be the outcome of this if and when it ever gets over.
Yeah, but it was just a few months ago when ethanol industry was in crisis, shutting down plants and, all be based on the economy and the pandemic. And we're kind of getting there again. Do you see another crisis looming around the corner?
Yeah, I think, that's likely to happen if we, end up with all these numbers continuing to spike and people saying, hey, we need to go back in for a while. And, but I guess what I'd say is, we have some of the plants that did shut down, and it's been tougher on some than others. The ones that are still open are doing okay. None of them are going gangbusters. This is more of a survival mode than anything else. So I think having been through it once, you'll see some of the same adjustments. Hopefully these plants are in good enough shape that they can get through it. But I mean, we still are working, as an organization and other organizations still trying to make sure that, some of the stuff that happened during the pandemic where the plants didn't get any kind of aid, that's still, is still a possibility. There's still plants that are struggling and with another slowdown or shutdown are in danger of closing up. So if there's any assistance we can get that we didn't get any of these last rounds, that's something that we're going to be pushing for as an organization. Yeah, I mean, it's in wintertime is always the slowest time for gas sales, even in a good year. So it remains to be seen. But I think our plants are leaner and smarter, and hopefully they'll be able to get through this thing, whatever we got to do to get past it. Because the bottom line is we got to get rid of this virus before everything returns to normal.
Yeah, and same thing, just like farmers, gotten leaner and meaner and smarter. So, but when it comes to the Environmental Protection Agency and the small refinery exemptions, where are we at there?
Well, I mean, it's hard to predict. I mean, the right answer is that the Environmental Protection Agency would deny the small refinery exemptions that they've been asked for, because there are only two things that they can grant a refinery exemption for, and that is for severe economic harm that's being caused by ethanol, which this isn't that, or insufficient supply, and we don't have insufficient supply. So there really aren't any grounds under the law as it's written to grant a small refinery exemption. But as far as the tactics that'll be used, I suppose the Trump administration on its way out could, make one last tip of the hat to the oil industry and grant them, albeit illegally, and we'd have to go to court. Or they could, try and set a trap for the incoming Biden administration and say, okay, we're not going to answer them at all. We're going to let you do it so you can decide who you get mad at you right off the bat. So we don't know what's going to happen. But the right answer is that the refinery exemptions are not justified and they should be denied.
the previous administration, or the current administration, was relatively ethanol-friendly. Looking forward, environmentally friendly, or however you want to categorize the next administration, I guess, what challenges do you see?
Yeah, I mean, the EPA certainly under the current administration hasn't been, I don't know that I'd call them friendly. The SREs were devastating to a lot of the industry. The new administration, we're going to have our work cut out there. They're not, you know, not necessarily big ethanol fans. We have some work to do to reestablish ethanol as an environmentally friendly fuel. It is, but we've been, you know, victims of a multi-decade misinformation campaign, and we've got to make the case that ethanol, I mean, that's the majority of California's carbon credits over the last 10 years have been because of ethanol. So we've been doing the job. We just have to remind the people that are put in charge in the new administration that ethanol is still doing that job. And you know, there, I don't know how hard the push will be to maybe speed up the change to electrification, but you know, it's all low carbon. That's what we're focusing on, have been for the last 3 years, pointing out that ethanol is a very low carbon fuel. It's a high octane fuel, and that, you know, that's what they're looking for. And, you know, before they decide that it's just all electric all the time, we need them to take another look. And I think maybe, you know, aside from the presidential election, the other election results will probably buy us some time, you know, with Congress losing some Democrat seats, and we don't know what the Senate's going to be, but that may buy us some more time to make our case again that ethanol needs to be part of the future when you're looking at ways to reduce carbon and improve the environment.
Ron, the low hurdle to leap over in the short term here is higher blends of ethanol in the U.S. fuel supply. The longer, higher hurdle to leap over is, well, kind of a, not sticker shock, but oh my goodness, electric vehicles in the future. This could be the death knell for ethanol. Or should we be making electricity from ethanol? Where, you know, think down the road 20 years. What do we do with our ethanol plants?
Well, I mean, when I look at the future, what I think would be a great solution would be, I mean, we're going to have cars that need liquid fuel now for a long period of time. Even if they started today and made everything electric, it's, you know, by the time all the vehicles turn over, it's probably 8 or 10 or 15 years. So there's going to be liquid fuel in the marketplace, even if they switch tomorrow. But I think there's points where you look at the environmental footprint of electricity itself, and there's parts of the country where using more electricity doesn't necessarily benefit the environment because of the way the electricity is made. So I think it has to be an all of the above type of philosophy, as most elect officials espouse that, but then they live in a state where one or the other is king. But I mean, to me, that if I were the king of cars and environment, I'd probably be using hybrid cars that ran on E85, because as they use less and less fuel, more and more of it can be ethanol. And then you don't end up with problems where, you know, what happens if the, you know, what do you do in a storm when the power's out? How do you get your car rolling again? I just, you know, my own personal belief is that if we go all plug-in electric, we're asking for times when basically people can't get anywhere. And I think it makes more sense to have more than one fuel source, just as we do right now. And I think that'll be, you know, regardless of what plans are and people's dreams are about things, I think reality eventually is what you end up dealing with. And I think the reality is we're going to move more and more to electric, but I think ethanol can be a bigger part of that. And that's why, you know, we've been working this the Midwest low carbon fuel standard that Brian Jennings and past President Ron Alverson and our Washington, D.C. Representative Jonathan Lehman have been working on for a long time now. And we've been part of, you know, the electric utilities are working with us on it, because we need to be part of that, not fighting that. And I'm pretty optimistic that maybe we can convince people that there are other options than just going straight plug-in electric.
Yeah, my big concern is how do we recharge the tractor or the combine after 10, 15 rounds out there, far from a charging station? So that's a big gray right. area. And
I wonder, you know, you take a look at a hurricane. How does everybody get out of town if the power is all down and, you know, some of them haven't charged their car yet?
Yeah.
And you're right. You get a lot of equipment that runs on diesel. What, you know, is that, you know, obviously they're making inroads there and there's more powerful motors that can use electricity and do some of the work that diesel vehicles use. But why not use a, you know, biodiesel or renewable diesel, something that's got a good carbon footprint and can power those vehicles? I just think it's dangerous. I wouldn't necessarily want to go to, I mean, you know, part of me says it would be cool if everything was all ethanol all the time, but that's not realistic either. So I think we need to remind people that the reason ethanol was put in place where it's been for the last 30 years was because it's a good environmentally friendly fuel, and that just because they've got something that they think is maybe perfect off in the future, they shouldn't throw away all the stuff that's really very, very good.
Well, job security for you. Thank you for the work you have done and will do in the future. Ron Lamberty of the American Coalition for Ethanol. Thank you much for the visit. Have a great rest of the day.
Thanks, Mick. You too.
All righty. Ethanol and corn, linked at the hip, huh? Married at the hip, you might say. There's an interview we had last week at the Farm Broadcasting Virtual Convention. All right, next week is the Farm Talk Virtual Farm Show, Wednesday and Thursday, December 2nd and 3rd. Hey, you want to go to a farm show? We'll have it for you right here on Farm Talk. Next Wednesday and Thursday, we'll chat with some of your most visible association advocates for you. That's next Wednesday and Thursday.